Welcome to the Gymea Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're listening to the pod and trust that this message encourages your heart and faith today. At GBC, we're all about partnering with God in the renewal and restoration of all things. And it's our hope that through these sermons, you'll discover the life-changing power of Jesus. If you'd like to join us in person or online or find out more, check out our website at gymeabaptist.org.au.
Thanks, Beck. Good evening. It's good to have you here tonight. Nice to be together and worship together and be led in prayer and identify color that we are tonight, which is great. It's good to have you here tonight. This morning, as Margie mentioned, we had three baptisms. There was a young lady who's got some young kids. She was baptized this morning. There was a lady in her 80s who was baptized here this morning. Her story in particular was that she's been in churches her whole life. This is the first place that she's felt that she belongs, which is wonderful. And then a dad who's got five kids, various ages, got baptized as well. So it was a kind of a bit of a mix. For those of you relatively new to the building, behind me, right up against the wall where that set normally sits, is a pool. It's about that deep if you get right all the way into it. And that's where we baptize people, if you haven't seen that before. If you're thinking about it, all of a sudden kind of going, oh, Baptist church. Baptism, I see the connection. Then well done you. Baptism is a pretty important practice for Baptists as a denomination. We reserve baptism for believers. We believe that those who take the step of baptism should be people who have placed their faith in Jesus. And so we generally don't baptize children in that way. We wait until those children who may have been baptized or confirmed come to a point in their faith journey where they are willing to commit to follow Jesus. And because we reserve baptism for those who are believers, then the public confession of faith is really important. If you've seen a baptism here, you'll know that we encourage the people who are being baptized to share a little bit of why they're being baptized, to talk a bit about what led them to this point in time. And we generally hear a little bit about their story, a little bit about their background, a little bit about how they came to faith and the significance of baptism. And that's really important for the people who are being baptized because it helps them articulate their reasoning for being baptized. And it's encouraging for us because, again, if you've listened to people's stories of how they came to faith, even though every story is unique and different, we hear something of our own story in all of them. Right, so many of us were raised in families that had faith and took us to church. And so when we hear that in someone else's story, it's a reminder of our own. When we hear people talk about drifting away from God for a while and then coming back and making the decision to follow Him, we hear our own story in that. Something really encouraging about that. But that thing, that little sharing, that thing that they do and write out a page or two, which is the most frightening and intimidating part of baptism, is actually not the public confession of faith. The public confession of faith takes place when they're actually in the water, and we ask them three questions. We ask them a question about their faith in Jesus and the forgiveness of sins. We ask them a question about their commitment to follow after Him. And we ask them a question about their commitment to do that, to follow after Jesus in a community of faith, in a church. And on their profession of faith that, yes, I believe in Jesus, and yes, I'm committed to following Him, and yes, I will do so in the church, we baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, just as it said in Matthew 28. Baptism takes place here in that way. When we baptize them fully. You get all wet. We believe that the New Testament example is a full immersion, that people were completely immersed in water, and so we do that same practice here today. And as you heard that reading that Beck read for us at the end of Matthew's gospel, perhaps you understand why baptism is important, not just to Baptists who are part of a Baptist church, but to Christians. Because Christians have, for the better part of two millennia, baptized people. They've baptized children, they've baptized believers. The modes and the manners in which it has taken place and the importance of that has shifted and changed over time, but it has been a constant in the church. In fact, if you think about it, if you are here and you have placed your faith in Jesus, you are here in part because somebody who is at this mountain did what Jesus told them to. They went and they made a disciple, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that disciple, who had learned what it meant to follow Jesus, told somebody else, who told somebody else, who told somebody else, who told somebody else, I'll skip to the end, who told you. We are in direct connection to people who stood at the mountain and heard Jesus say, go, go, make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. I thought it was probably appropriate for me tonight. We didn't have anyone who put their hand up to get baptized this evening, but I thought it'd be useful to talk about the significance and meaning of baptism nonetheless. For some of you, this might be a bit of review. Good, and always nice to have a bit of review. For some of you, it might be completely new. You may have just begun your journey of faith. You may have recently joined a Baptist church and think to yourself, I don't know what's going on with all this Baptist stuff. But I want to talk a little bit about the meaning of baptism, the significance of it for us. And then I've got a question for, well, a question for all of you, regardless of kind of where you sit. So as I said, when we gather, when we take people into the baptistry, and it was the same in the old auditorium, we would fully immerse them. And there are at least three components of baptism that contain some symbolism for us as followers of Jesus. The first of them is perhaps the simplest of them. If I asked you to submit a theological essay, which I won't, because that's a bad way to get people to come back to church every week, but if I were to ask you to write a bit of a theological treatise on baptism and tell me the significance and the meaning of it, there's probably one thing that would jump to mind fairly easily, and that is the idea of being washed, like of being cleansed. We can see the symbolism of that pretty quickly, can't we? And we've all been in a bath, we've all washed ourselves, washed off the grime and the sweat and the dust of the day, kind of washed off sometimes the worries and anxieties of the day, a little bit more kind of psychological. But we get the idea that there's something about being in the water that symbolizes a cleansing. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter, one of the first followers of Jesus, preached the first Christian sermon, those who were listening were cut to the heart, we're told, and they said to Peter, what should we do? And Peter's response to them was, shall we say, fairly simple. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. So one of the first things that we believe baptism symbolizes for us is that when we place our faith in Jesus, our sins have been washed away. That the guilt that we bear for those sins has been washed away, completely taken care of. It's one of the great mysteries of grace, that all of the sins that you and I have committed in the past, all of the sins that we will commit in the future, and the ones that you are contemplating committing right now, you're in church, stop it, right? All of those sins have already been forgiven in Christ, a once for all sacrifice. And so when we place our faith in Jesus, it's not a matter of saying, you know, I come into the water and somehow the water magically washes me clean, or the baptism somehow cleanses me from my sins. That's already taken place in what Christ Jesus has done. We are reminded of that truth when we step into the water, when we are reminded of kind of the bath aspect of it. In the first century, when Jesus began to baptize, and when John the Baptist, not Baptist by denomination, just Baptist because he baptized people, he talked about the forgiveness and cleansing of sins. Many scholars believe that the act of baptism, which isn't really found in the Old Testament, probably came from some of the Jewish ritual cleansings, where people would wash various parts of their bodies, various items in their homes to symbolize their purity. There's something about baptism that reminds us that we have been forgiven, that we've been washed clean. So the first question that we ask people here is this: do you believe and accept God's invitation to turn from sin toward a life changed by Jesus through the present power of the Holy Spirit? To which the appropriate answer is, I do. But being cleansed and being reminded of the cleansing that we experience in Jesus is just one part of it. Because we know that to recognize that we've been forgiven, to place our faith in Jesus, is just the start of a much longer journey. You perhaps heard the phrase, born-again Christian. Maybe it doesn't mean quite as much as it used to anymore, but nonetheless, it's terminology that is actually taken right out of the Gospel of John, where a teacher of the law named Nicodemus is sitting down with Jesus talking about what it means to follow him, and Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus is like, what do you mean by that? Like, I can't be born again, literally. What are you talking about? And Jesus says that you have to be born again of water and of spirit. There's something about baptism that reminds us of the new life. In Romans chapter 6, Paul, an early follower of Jesus, talks a little bit about this, shall I say, theological significance of baptism. In chapter 6, he says this in verse 3. He says, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. There's something symbolic about being lowered under the water. It's an analogy of being buried with Jesus in order that we might be raised again with him. There's a reminder in the very actions of being baptized and coming back out of the water that we have been born again. We have been given a new life, not just a new second chance, but a new life. Jesus says those who place their faith in him, they enter eternal life now. You don't wait until you die to enter into eternal life, although that is another part of eternal life, another experience of eternal life. No, by placing our faith in Jesus, we begin the life of heaven here and now. We drag the life of heaven into this time and place in order that the kingdom might come on earth as it is in heaven. Being baptized is that reminder. It's the reminder that not only have we been forgiven, not only are we urged to turn from sin, but we are set on a path of learning what it means to follow Jesus, learning what it means to love him, learning what it means to trust him, learning what it means to allow ourselves to be conformed to his likeness, allowing the Holy Spirit to change us, to root out the sin in our lives, to change those attitudes, to soften our hearts, to turn our ears so that in more and more and more and more and more ways, we become more like Jesus. Baptism is a reminder that we have died with Christ to be raised with Christ. And so the second question that we ask is, do you commit to following Jesus, nurturing your faith through spiritual practices as a heart response to God? To which the appropriate response is, I do. A belief in Jesus and a commitment to follow him. There's at least one other symbol that we can reflect on, and it actually goes back to the reason why Jesus was baptized. Because if you think about the two reasons given so far, the two symbols that I've talked about, they don't quite work for Jesus, do they? Jesus didn't need to remember that he died for himself, right? He wasn't baptized in the beginning of his ministry in order to wash away his sins. And while Paul later on can reflect on the significance of baptism for us as believers, that's never the way Jesus' baptism is spoken about, is foreshadowing his death and resurrection. Why was Jesus baptized? Like, what was going on there? And I think the context in which Jesus is baptized is actually really quite significant. You see, John the Baptist had begun to minister in the Judean wilderness, and he had a very simple message, and it was this, that the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. You might want to get ready. And so to those who were listening, many of them were baptized for the forgiveness of their sins as kind of a symbol of saying, we are ready for when the Lord comes. When the Lord comes, we want to be the people who have put our hands up and said, we are good to go. When the Lord comes with his plans and purposes, we are already on board. Yes, baptize me, I am in. There was a sense of committing to what was happening next, what God was doing. When Jesus appears, when he is baptized, there are a whole number of things that happen that indicate that his ministry was beginning. For 30 years, we believe, Jesus lived with his family, learning scripture and the ways in which rabbis taught and probably making furniture or whatever it is. We're not really told too much. But at the age of 30, the ministry that God had prepared for him, it now was the time. And so when Jesus is baptized, we're told in Mark's account, that he comes up, he's baptized by John in the Jordan, and as he was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open, the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And then immediately the Spirit sent him into the wilderness, where for 40 days and 40 nights he was tempted. A temptation that has some parallels with the people of Israel, who also were sent into the wilderness, but where they failed, Jesus succeeded. There's all sorts of stuff going on in Mark chapter 1. I'll stop there. When Jesus is baptized, there is a sense that Jesus is saying, "I am committed to the plans and purposes of God the Father, and I will humbly obey all he has asked me to do." Because from that point on, from the point of time that he is baptized, his ministry begins. We don't know if Jesus performed any miracles prior to the beginning of his ministry. I suspect that he probably did not. And once his ministry begins, then the demonstrations of who he is, of his authority, it all begins. There's a sense then in which our baptism can also serve as a reminder of our commitment to partaking in the things that God has prepared for us. That when we decide to be baptized, that we can be saying to ourselves, not only have I been washed of my sin and guilt, not only am I committing to following Jesus, but I am also committing to continue to be part of what God invites me into. And so the third question we ask, will you actively participate with the church in God's grand plan to renew and restore all things in Christ Jesus? And we mix this one up a little bit. With the Lord's help, I will. These are the three questions, at least three components of what baptism symbolizes, about why it's so important and has been so important for Christians for so many years, and why it will continue to be. And so I have some questions for you. For those of you who have been baptized, how are you going with those commitments? Do you believe and accept God's invitation to turn from sin toward a life changed by Jesus through the present power of the Holy Spirit? And would I see that in your life? Are you people who are repentant? Not because we need to kind of feel bad about ourselves, but because we need to recognize just how great grace is to turn again and again to the compassion of our good and gracious God. To be aware of our own sinfulness. Again, not to beat ourselves up, to be aware of what we have been saved from. Do you commit to following Jesus, nurturing your faith through spiritual practices as a heart response to God? And would I see that in your life? Are you at prayer? Are you in the Word? Are you practicing generosity and hospitality and mercy? And kindness, self-control, and patience? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to shine the light on those areas of your life that he needs to do some work on? Are you becoming more mature? I'm not asking whether you're becoming better or kinder or nicer or more good. Are you becoming more mature? Particularly those of you who got baptized a long time ago. You're more mature now? That's what our baptism signified, a commitment to that. Will you actively participate with the church in God's grand plan to renew and restore all things in Christ Jesus? And would I see that in your activity? Are the people that you connect with, who hold you accountable, who speak into your life, who help you learn and grow, are the people that you are speaking into their lives, helping them learn and grow? Are you involved in being part of what the church is involved in? Not necessarily in getting involved in one ministry or another ministry, but being involved in the grand plans that God has in your workplaces, in your families, in your neighborhoods. Are you committed to the plans and purposes of God? Because when you were baptized, all those months or years or decades ago, these were the things that were symbolized then, that you were forgiven. She committed yourself to follow Jesus all your days and to do that in the life of the church. So how are you going with those commitments? And again, I'm speaking to those who are forgiven, so don't feel guilty. For those of you who have not been baptized, you probably fall into two camps. Some of you have not been baptized because you've only just begun to follow Jesus. And if I asked you these questions, you'd probably answer by saying, I'm not sure, maybe, and possibly. Do you believe in Jesus? A bit. Enough to be here. Enough to start asking some questions. Enough to find out a little bit more. Do you commit to following him and starting to do some of those spiritual practices? Yeah, I've started to read the Bible a little bit. I'm still not sure where I stand with it, but I've started. Will we be part of a church? Well, I'm part of this church. We'll leave it there. And if that's you, if you listened to those three questions and you thought, not there yet, well, let me encourage you to continue to learn what it means to follow Jesus here. You've heard me say this before, but anyone can begin to follow Jesus. When Jesus calls his first disciples, I think it's absolutely amazing that he does not demand that they believe in him first. He doesn't give them a pop quiz and say, do you believe that I'm the Son of God? And as soon as they answered yes, he said, you can follow me. No, he said, follow me. Did not ask at all about what they believed. And as the Gospels unfold, we learn that they had no idea who he was until very, very late in the piece. And yet they were following him. He doesn't ask them what they know about him. He doesn't give them a pop quiz on Scripture. He doesn't kind of hand out scrolls of the prophet Isaiah and say, just kind of review it really quickly, and then I'm going to ask you 10 questions, and the top 10 percentile of the class will be able to follow me. He also doesn't demand that they change anything in their lives, apart from beginning to follow him. Now, be warned. If you begin to follow Jesus, eventually the time will come when you will have to make a decision about who you believe he is. Eventually, you will have learned enough about who he is that you're going to have to make some decisions about whether following him is worth the sacrifices that that will bring. And inevitably, there will come a time when you will have to make some changes in your life. But at the beginning, anyone can begin to follow Jesus. So follow Jesus. Ask your questions. Do it here. Journey with us. Ask your questions and learn and grow and explore and practice. Have a go at it. And if and when the time comes, I've always got a body of water there that's easily accessible. But for those of you who have not been baptized, but who would answer, I do, and with the Lord's help, I will, I'd like to talk to you next time we say we're going to have a baptism. I'd like you to seriously make it a matter of prayer. I'd like you to talk to people who are close to you. Maybe some who have been baptized, maybe some who have not been baptized. Have the conversation. Talk about it. And next time we have a baptism service, I would love for you to chat to me. Not that you will necessarily take the plunge, but in order to continue to have that conversation. Because there is something really quite significant about following Jesus' own example and placing ourselves in the long line of believers who have been made disciples, who are continuing to be disciples, and who are seeking to make disciples of others. To be reminded of what we believe, that we have been washed clean of our sin and guilt, to be reminded that to follow Jesus is a lifelong commitment and that we have the wonderful opportunity to participate in God's plans because he continues to involve us in them wherever we might be. I think that covers everybody. You've all got a question to take away? Baptism is a really significant moment. For those this morning who shared a little bit of their story, who were baptized, believe that it'll be one of those moments that they look back on with some fondness as they took that step of publicly declaring the things that they believed and symbolizing some of that in the very act of baptism. I'm going to invite the worship team up, and they're going to lead us in a last song. I think it's called This I Believe. It's the Creed. It's essentially most of the, I'm not sure it's the Nicene Creed, maybe the Apostles' Creed, an ancient creed that talks about the things that Christians believe. It's one of the things that unites us with most believers around the world, along with things like baptism and the Lord's Supper. But before we sing that song, I'm actually going to invite you to stand, and I'm going to ask you these three questions. And if you feel that you are able to, I'd encourage you to respond out loud with an I do, and with the Lord's help, I will. We're not going to turn the sprinklers on and get you all in some sort of trick play. It has to be by full immersion or it doesn't count, right? And if you're not ready to make those declarations, you don't need to. That's quite all right. You don't have to say these things. But I want you to hear the questions again. Have them directed to you so that you can kind of, I guess, peg where you're up to in your own journey of discovering who Jesus is. You might find, as you think about these questions, that maybe you're closer than you thought. Maybe you're a little bit closer to understanding and placing your faith in Jesus than you thought. So why don't you stand and let me read these questions to you. And again, if you are comfortable and willing to do so, then you can respond with an I do, and with the Lord's help, I will. So, do you believe and accept God's invitation to turn from sin towards a life changed by Jesus through the present power of the Holy Spirit? And do you commit to following Jesus, nurturing your faith through spiritual practices as a heart response to God? And will you actively participate with the church in God's grand plan to renew and restore all things in Christ Jesus? Let's sing about the things that we believe and take those commitments with us.
Thanks for listening to this sermon podcast. We hope you found inspiration and encouragement, and God used this message to speak to you. If you want to connect more with GBC, you can follow us on social media or contact us via our website. You can also get to know some of the people from our church community through the We Are The Church podcast. Real stories of real people sharing how Jesus has shaped and transformed their life. We pray you experience the transforming power of Jesus in your life, and pray that God blesses you today.